This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host from her home studio is Bridget Ayer.
Yeah, great to be with you. I'm loving this. One of these days we'll get back into the studio, so we'll see, you know, maybe in June or something like that. We don't know, but we have a great...
We've been trying lots of different things. If you notice that maybe in different programs, Bridget sounds a little bit different. You say, gee, I know that's Bridget, but she sounds a little different. Well, we've tried a headset microphone. We've tried a cell phone. We've tried a studio microphone. We've tried all kinds of things. I think we've got probably the best combination that we've ever had. So let's roll with it.
Yeah, by the time we get it worked out, you know, I'll be back in the studio. But anyway, So, we have a great show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking about the St. Vincent de Paul Society and all the great work that they do. They're always helping people in need, and in most recent days, they've been helping people, I guess, in crisis. And our guest today is Peter Zubler. He is the executive director of the St. Vincent de Paul Society here in Indianapolis. So, Peter, welcome to Faith in Action.
Well, hey, thank you all for having me. I'm very excited about this opportunity and look forward to talking a little bit further about St. Vincent de Paul and all of our, what we refer to internally as our best-kept secrets, because we do so much and not all of it's known, so I'm happy to be able to have the chance to talk a little bit about that.
We were talking to Peter a little bit before the program, and I promised him some embarrassing questions. Here's the first one. Who's St. Vincent de Paul? Who is he?
Oh, that's not an embarrassing question, but I'll be happy to jump right in. So St. Vincent de Paul was an incredible French priest who several centuries was really one of the first to highlight the social problems that exist in our communities, particularly among the poor. So Frederick Ozanam was a college student in the, I would say, early 1800s, around 1833, and he and a group of his college students went out into their local Paris, France communities and met with the poor and sought them out to take them food and clothing and offer friendship. They looked to St. Vincent de Paul as their patron, and so henceforth they formed the St. Vincent de Paul Society.
Wow, and I think it's so great to hear these stories about our great saints and how they really modeled our faith and how we can carry that on. And I think most people, I guess for myself and others that I've talked to, When we think of St. Vincent de Paul Society here in Indianapolis, I think most people think about the food pantry. But you guys do so much more. Maybe talk a little bit about the food pantry and then maybe some of the other things that you do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The food pantry is our large footprint. But we have many other large footprints throughout the organization. The food pantry itself... So we have one on 30th Street here in Indianapolis, and it truly exists in a food desert in what's considered the most impoverished part of the city. And we serve over roughly 3,200 individuals every single week, or I'm sorry, 3,200 households, and that roughly equates to about 10,000 to 11,000 individuals that receive nutritious food and those basic essentials out of our food pantry. It's quite an effort, boy oh boy, to operate that food pantry. It's a sight to see.
Now, as I was growing up, my mother and dad would always be donating one thing or another to the St. Vincent de Paul Society, and so I kind of thought of it as the Catholic Goodwill store, so to speak. But there are big differences. What are some of them?
Oh, yeah, that's another excellent question. So we are truly a local organization. So everything that gets donated, everything that is donated, financial donation of material goods, that stays in our local community. When you think of, like, Goodwill stores. They do some very valuable work within the community as well. But they are a franchised organization, and they are national, located out, headquartered outside of the state. A lot of the proceeds migrate outside of the local communities. With everything that's donated to Save Vincent de Paul, we find a use for it. When I talk a little bit more about our distribution center, I'll get into that a little bit. But this is an incredibly holistic organization.
We're talking with Peter Zubler. He is the executive director of the St. Vincent de Paul Society here in Indianapolis. And I am just kind of stunned by the thing that you just told us earlier, that you serve roughly 10,000 people at the food pantry a week. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And truly, that'll spike at various intervals throughout the course of the year. We've last year we're averaging actually in the range of around 11,000 individuals. Mm-hmm. And how we equate that is we count households, and households mm-hmm. can vary. And we ask people how many folks are in their household. So at the end of the day, we identify the number of folks that come through as individual households, and then extrapolate the number within their household. And that's an incredible impact. One thing to note I'd like to share about that is the vast majority of folks that come into our food pantry are in what we would consider to be a kind of a situational poverty type situation. So either a medical condition, and they're right at the financial threshold, where they're barely mm-hmm. making ends meet, or they may be a little bit behind on rent and other factors. And, boy, here comes a medical condition, and they have medical bills, or they're out of work, or their car dies, which leads to being out of work. And that's the tipping point. And so they come to a food pantry such as ours to help to supplement, not just for the basic essentials, which is the primary reason. It also helps to supplement the overall household needs and income.
Well, Peter, I really want to get into this, how COVID-19 has really impacted your food pantry operation. We can talk about it more in general as we get into the show in your other ministries, because I know you do a lot of other things. But in specifically with the food pantry, have you lost a lot of volunteers? Do you have plenty of volunteers for that? Or how has it impacted in terms of how many people have been showing up to the food pantry? Has that increased a lot? Can you tell us a little bit about the status of how this COVID-19 has kind of impacted the food pantry?
Yeah, Bridget, absolutely. My goodness. When you talk about a radical change necessitated by this massive crisis, you look at our food pantry. So of those 3,000-plus households that would be served, they would traditionally come into our food pantry facility, right? And they would go through our intake, and they would shop, and then they would depart. Some come via their own vehicle. Some ride the public bus, or they'll come on foot or on bike. So we couldn't have all of those individuals due to safety for the individuals, for the community, and for our volunteers inside huddled in clusters in our building. So we, within a period of about a week, had to shift to a drive-through model. And what that relates to is we had to push all of our food out basically into our parking lot.
Mm.
So that requires the pre-packing and pre-boxing of food, and then putting them on skids and with forklifts and pallet jacks, individually hauling those skids outside. We had to set up tents in our parking lot to shelter those items during operations, and then distributing the food. So our numbers have actually increased by 20%, and the volunteers, the volunteer network is incredibly strong with this organization. That said, many of our volunteers fall in the high-risk categories. And so we've had several that have had to say that due to those risk factors, they've not been able to continue to provide the same volunteer supports. So then what that has also done is opened up new volunteers that have come in that we've appealed for extra additional support. We have many volunteers who are working from home, and boy, just to get out of the house, they're looking for opportunities to give back.
Certainly, yes.
So, yes, we've seen a real increase in new volunteers, but there's always a need for volunteers, and every day is kind of a question mark. Okay. Who's going to cook?
Yep. I was going to ask you about the quantity of food. It sounds like you go through a lot of food. And I know a lot of parishes, you know, have drives for St. Vincent de Paul. And, you know, people bring the can of beans or the box of cereal or whatever it is. But do you have big suppliers that supply you with pallet loads of things? Or where do you get all of the food that you distribute?
Yeah, we work with several food banks. So our primary food bank that we work with is Gleaners. Being the largest food pantry in the Midwest, and if not the largest in the nation, then one of the largest in the nation, we do accept palleted supplies of food because we're able to receive those and to break them down. So with that, we seek food from Gleaners, and Gleaners is able to supply us with some of our needs, but not all of our needs. So then we go to Midwest Food Bank, and they supply us with some of our needs, but they're not able to meet all of our needs. So then we also go up to Fort Wayne, and we go to their food bank, and they also provide food supplies for us. That still does not meet the demand. So then we go to out of the market. Pete Withy is our director of our food procurement, and he's brilliant. And he goes out and he talks to people in California and Mississippi, and we get truckloads of chicken nuggets and produce that come in the door because our need is so great. We have to exhaust all of our resources.
Well, Peter, I know we mentioned volunteers, but before we take a break, would you go ahead and give the website if someone wanted to volunteer? We'll talk about it in the second half, but people are, you know, listening and they want to volunteer. How do they do that?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's very simple. So you want to go to our website, which is www.svdpindy.org. That's www.svdpindy.org. So once you get to our website, you can click on I Want to Help. And so you have opportunities to give back, volunteering areas, and we have so many, and they're all our director of volunteer services, Darlene Sweeney, has done a fabulous job of describing each area, each position at our distribution center, food pantry, and other our various conferences throughout the archdiocese. And you can click on an area that you feel like would appeal to you, and that's the key thing with the volunteers. What would you like to do, and how would you like to give back, and see where you fit? It's a very simple process.
That sounds great, Peter. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of your other ministries, the homeless ministry, and then also the help calls and home visits. So stay tuned, and we'll talk some more about that on the second half of Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley's in the studio, and we're talking with our guest, Peter Zubler. He's the executive director of the St. Vincent de Paul Society here in Indianapolis. And boy, do they do so much good for our Indianapolis area. I was curious, Peter, how far out do you serve? I mean, do you serve the donut counties, or, I mean, do people come for, I mean, you get my question, like, what's your reach in the central Indiana?
Yeah, I'm glad we circled around to that. So we serve the Indianapolis Archdiocese jurisdiction. So that effectively runs from 96th Street in the north of north of the city, all the way down to the Ohio River. So we have a pretty extensive reach.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Now, do you have a number of locations as well? I mean, the geographic area you just described is huge, and obviously people can't drive 100 miles to get a loaf of bread. So how do you distribute food in the wider area?
That's very true. So basically, if you look at our organization, you can break it into three distinct areas. You've got our council, and the council is kind of like our hub, kind of a central hub of the organization. And then from that hub, we have our special works. And the special works are our food pantries, where we distribute food supply, our distribution centers, and that's where we have furniture and household goods. We have clothing, the other basic essentials. Those are distributed through those distribution centers. Then we also have our what we refer to as our conferences, and those are groups within local parishes. And these groups meet regularly to identify needs that come into the organization. So we have a helpline, and that's throughout the community. And people then will call the helpline, and the conferences will identify how they can help within their parish boundaries. So we have roughly about 57 conferences throughout our archdiocese. Locally, we have about 42 here in the Marion County surrounding Donut area.
Okay, well, that's interesting. I also want to touch on a couple other ministries that you do, and I want to talk about the homeless ministry that you do. Tell us a little bit about that. How long has it been around, and maybe how it works?
So our homeless ministries, we look at it as a kind of a continuum. So we meet people where they are, and that is effectively and literally the case. So we have a program, our ministry, called the Beggars for the Poor program ministry. And what that does is every single Saturday we set up a group of volunteers where we distribute warm meals and clothing to the homeless that come to Roberts Park in downtown Indianapolis. So we're meeting people directly on the street. Uh-huh. Now, from there, we also have which is kind of the continuum. We have our Vincentian homeless ministries, and those are run by two just phenomenal ladies, Linda Cloud Felter and Maureen McLean. And they've been doing this for years. And what they do is they open up our distribution center, a little section of it, and folks who are homeless come by, and they receive not just those basic essentials again, so if they need clothing or shoes, they will sit down and they get counseled as to where they are. We kind of meet them where they are. So mm-hmm. if they have a need for a state ID, right? If they have a need for any assistance with housing applications or even development of a resume, that's where they work on that with those individuals, because the economic factor is huge for stability as well as housing. So that happens at that stage. We also have a Bicycles for Hope program that's tied into that, and so many of our folks that are homeless that come to see us on Wednesdays and on Saturdays, they're on their feet continuously. Linda and Maureen have literally taken the shoes off of individuals and had to dress their wounds on their feet because they're blistered and just their shoes are falling apart. So they have started several years ago collecting bicycles, and several of the folks who are homeless now volunteer within that program, and they help to repair those bicycles. And those bicycles are given to individuals that come in and they have to be at the position where they're going to be able to utilize that bicycle and be responsible for it and use it for the purpose which is intended, which is to get to resources and to be more mobile. So resources being a job interview, getting to the doctor. You know, the homeless in our community walk across town continually to try to find services and supports. So this helps to expand that.
Not only that, sometimes they don't even have, you know, public transportation that will go specifically to where they need to go, you know, so the bike really would give them autonomy. Now, we only have about 6 minutes left here, so we want to get all this in. Can you tell us briefly about the health calls and home visits, and then I want to get to how people can help your organization?
Yeah, absolutely. So when someone calls with a need for help, we have a team of volunteers that takes that call. And then they send that out to individual, those conferences I had mentioned before that locate in individual parishes. They determine, based upon the zip code of that help call, how they can assist. Now, some of those calls come in asking for food, so we direct them to either a Boulevard Place food pantry or 30th Street food pantry or to the distribution center for clothing. But that will lead to a home visit where we do the home visits because we want to extend our spirituality side of our mission to those that we're serving. We also want to be able to verify what their need is. So if they may call and say, I have a stove that broke down and I need support. So we send a team out in a team of twos to a home, and they may find that all the children are sleeping on the floor. There's no desk to do homework. The children don't have shoes on their feet. So then we identify additional areas of need, give them a voucher. They bring that voucher back to our distribution center where we have a referral desk. Individuals then will shop in our store if they need clothing, which is our Mission 27 stores. And then they will go around to our back dock, and that's where they receive lamps or a couch or a bed, mattress, tables, pots and pans, those items.
Now, I know a lot of organizations, you know, during this pandemic and shutdown have dropped in donations and even volunteers, you know, just kind of as you highlighted, some of those people that are the good volunteers are in that risk group. So what are your needs right now? How can people help? What do you need most, and how can they do that?
So great question. So I know our time is running short here, so I will really emphasize the key areas of need for us. We want our volunteers to be comfortable and to be safe, so we supply all of our volunteers with masks, with gloves, and we have social distancing that's highlighted throughout our services. So that's critically important. We have a huge need for masks, and we've had a really great response. I'll walk to the back of our office, and I'll see there's a gallon bag full of 200 homemade masks that someone dropped off. So that's a huge need, and it continues to be. So donations of any form of PPP, which is personal protective equipment, masks, hand sanitizer, gloves, those are all greatly needed and greatly appreciated. We have a huge need for material.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, what about monetary donations or physical donations, I guess?
Yeah, so material goods, that would be clothing. Those are hugely in need, especially now. We'll take all forms of textiles. That all benefits blankets. It's all of great benefit to those that we serve. With the shuttering of our two Mission 27 thrift stores, we've had a huge need, an incredible need, to for additional monetary donations to come in to help support what we do. Those two stores funded our programs. So we have a nutritious food initiative. We fund our systemic change, homeless and impoverished people in need. Those programs are essential, and we want to keep them going. So you can go to our website once again at svdpindy.org, and you can look for ways you can donate directly. We do have we've made some creative adjustments, like we have a spring 5K. We are doing a 5K, but it's called a virtual 5K. So it's Love Your Neighbor 5K, and it's, you can find more information about it on our website. But it basically involves a two-week window in which there are four routes that can be chosen by someone wishing to run or walk a 5K throughout the city. And GPS tracks where you start and where you end, and you can do it on your own time frame. That eliminates the obviously the large gathering that happens at the 5K, but also continues that, that effort. So I really would like to encourage folks to get out, enjoy the sunshine, do so safely, and do so by participating in our virtual 5K. So find out more information about that. Our material goods are incredibly needed, and we're doing the, this stuff-a-truck drive where we have four parishes throughout our Indianapolis area. We bring our large 26-foot Freightliner trucks. We open them up, and folks bring items. You know, this is springtime. We're all cooped up inside. We're all stir-crazy. Hey, what better time to go through and say, you know, do I really, really need that, you know, that
right.
item in the house? So bring them to our stuff truck drive. Find out more about that on our website.
That's one of the great pieces. That's St. Vincent de Paul, svdpindy.org, to get more information. Peter Zubler, Executive Director of St. Vincent de Paul Society, thank you so much for being our guest today.
You know, I can't thank the Catholic community and the community at large for just a great effort of support. It's just been incredible to see how everybody's come together. We see it within our own ministries, and we thank everybody for their support. Please don't hesitate to come see where we're about and to join in with us. And everybody be safe out there. And thank you, Catholic Radio, for interviewing myself so we can talk a little bit more about St. Vincent de Paul.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400. Or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.